Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I can't find what I was looking for. So you know what? I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you that we're here today, Lord God. The word that I have today is gratefulness, Lord God. Gratefulness, Lord. Thankfulness. Lord, we bless your name, Lord. You do so much for us, Lord, that we don't even deserve. Because when you look at us, you see your son. And we don't deserve that, Lord. But you are a merciful, kind, holy, and loving God, Lord. And so we thank you today with all of our hearts. We give you glory. We want to praise you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We want to lift you up in authenticity, Lord God. We want to lift you up with all of our being, Lord God, today. Lord, help us to focus on you, Lord God. Just remove all of the baggage that we've had all week, Lord. Yeah. Remove the darkness that entered our eyes, Lord God. Remove the dark thoughts that have entered our heads.
Yes.
Lord, just clear out the field, Lord, so that we see only you, Lord. That's all we need. That's all we want to see this morning. We only want to see you, Lord Jesus. And we want to see you high and lifted up, Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
Filling this place, Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
And each one of us. Lord, I just praise your name, Lord. I pray that worship today, throughout this day, would be in spirit and in truth, would be glorious, Lord, and would minister to you, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, and we welcome you. Amen.
Yes, all right, y'all. I want to share this scripture. Scripture, I was reading it yesterday, and it stirred up something in me, because you got to understand, I think sometimes God wants us to be radical. He wants us to be crazy. He wants to be stupid crazy, because he's that big.
Yes.
If you want to turn, you can, but if not, we're going to Daniel chapter 3. Now, this is one of the scriptures. Man, this scripture right here blessed me. Oh, it blessed me. It blessed me. I was in jail. And I read this scripture, and these three Hebrew boys said, man, we ain't bowing down to you. We don't care how big the furnace is. But the point of that was it was their faith. Sometimes we gotta be bold and speak bold for the Lord against our situations and circumstances. Man, it just seemed like it just keep going around and around and around. And then over here, when I get done fixing that stuff, it's some more stuff, then stuff come from the back. But faith will whoop all of it. Your faith in Christ, regardless of what it is, because he said it was going to go through trials and tribulations. So wipe your eyes. Wipe your eyes. Clean your nose off. And believe.
Yes.
Watch this. Daniel 3. I'm going to go to verse 16. Watch this real quick. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, the king want them to bow down to all these whistles and bells. And they was like, man, we ain't bowing down to that. Now remember, this is before Christ. So what was Christ doing? He was in the Trinity, right? In the beginning, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So what was Christ doing when they was going through this? Watch this. They answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. He said, man, we ain't scared of you. That was faith. That was faith speaking. Because if it was their flesh, they would have been. This came out of their spirit, man. Oh, God, this is good. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, this is it. But if not, be it known unto you, man, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden images which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar got extremely mad. It was their faith speaking. We got to start speaking against that stuff. Them bills. Man, them bills just seem like they come around every 2 weeks. We got to start speaking. We got to take our rightful place over them. Because remember, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Who are we? If he our brother, if we serve him, who are we? God woke me up to something. He said, Bird, start taking your rightful position of who I called you to be and who I made you.
Yes.
God wants us to do something. And sometimes we waiting on him. He's not going to do it. He gave you the power over in Mark 16. Faith.
Amen.
Your faith can change your life.
Right.
You got to believe it. I've been teaching on faith, bringing us up to faith, but it's something you got to do. He can't do it all. You got to start believing. You got to make your own. Remember, it's three. You got your spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. And then, and you got to understand, your flesh wants to run you. But the reason why the Holy Spirit got to be in you so God can be the boss. He can be the king and can make you the little king under him. Oh, my God, you got to see this. We're walking beneath our rights. We have a covenant. Read the covenant.
Bert, come here. I just really felt like...
Man. Yes, yes, yes. Right now, I'm going to lead us in a prayer to break unbelief,
yes.
To break doubt. That is of the enemy.
Yes.
You got to break it, people.
Yes.
We are staying where we are because we're not believing and moving on it.
Jesus.
Father God, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
We break doubt. We take charge over unbelief, Lord God. We put under our feet skepticism, Lord, about what you might have done and seeing things the way the enemy wants us to see it. But we believe right now and we see it the way you want us to see it. We are kings. We are priests. We are a peculiar people, Lord God, because you are. You made us that way. And Lord, we break unbelief. Oh, we break his neck right now, never to be able to rise up and take over us in the name of Jesus. We speak it. We are a supernatural people. We're supposed to walk by faith. It says walk by faith, not by sight. Sight means your senses. Sight mean your senses. Sight, touch, feel, all of that. Forget that. The spirit world is right here, right now,
yes,
where we're standing.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
You got to get bold. You got to get tired.
Yes.
And you got to, you just got to move. God is not going to move until you move. Lord, we break that unbelief. We break that doubt. Fear to move. Let God be God in your life. You are tying his hands when you don't believe. Father, we thank you and we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
Let's be seated for the Lord's Supper. If you don't have the couplets for the Lord's Supper, they're back on the table right next to the sound booth there. Amen. Yesterday was February the 3rd. February the 3rd, 1970, as I've said to many people, that's when I gave my heart to the Lord as a young man of 18 in the Jesus movement. It was a powerful day. It has transformed my life. And just give the glory and the honor to the Lord. He has, as the songs have been declaring, he has been faithful. He has been so, so faithful. He has been good. He has been so, so good. And it was just a morning of a lot of different images. Just really an image that I had of a door, trying to find a door in. The Lord lives and dwells in a realm of life. And we are called constantly to enter into that door. We have unlimited access to the life of God. We have unlimited access to the victory of God. And initially, I was probably coming out of sleep and praying. And what happens to me is I wake up and I start praying. I fall asleep. I wake back up shortly after. I'm praying. I fall asleep. And in the middle, I'm dreaming and thinking. And sometimes I don't remember whether it's a vision or it's just something I dreamed. But there was a building. I was trying to find the way into that building. And I was going to the wrong doors. I was going to the wrong places. But then I saw the door and I went in. And I just realized it was access again to the life of the Lord, to the glory realm of the Lord. And we need to understand we have constant access to the door of the Lord because it is the grace. See, Jesus said he's the door. And as long as we see him, we know him, we have access into greater levels of the life of God. And so my day kind of started out with that. I was reminded yesterday was my 54th anniversary in the Lord, coming to the Lord so many years ago. And then I also realized, too, that February 2nd is Groundhog's Day. And I thought of the movie Groundhog's Day. And, you know, the movie Groundhog Day is this individual. He keeps living the same day over and over and over and over again. And at the start, you know, he's typical, he's materialistic, he's selfish, he's arrogant, he's running around, living life on his term, his ways, finding pleasure in what he finds. But he goes to sleep and he wakes up and it's the same day. And each time he goes through the same day, he begins to see different things. He begins to notice things that he didn't notice. He began to notice things that he didn't notice the day before. And so, and then he begins to anticipate. Oh, I remember this, because he'll go to sleep and he wakes up and it's the same day. And he just keeps living over the same day. But as he lives through the same days, he begins to change. And the point of the movie is that he realizes that what he thought was valuable in life, what he thought brought pleasure, what he thought brought success, is not that. And he ends up, of course, as he goes through the same day over and over again, he begins to perform acts of kindness, acts of goodness, acts of help. He remembers, you know, somebody falling because this is the 50th time he's gone through that day. And because he knows they're going to fall, he runs right up and he catches them. And he begins to change his life. And he moves in living the same day over and over and over again. He begins to find out that the real essence of life is doing good. Doing acts of goodness, doing acts of kindness, doing acts of encouragement and affirmation. In other words, he begins to understand grace. And the point of the movie is that things happen in our lives over and over and over again. Like, Lord, why is this happening to me over and over and over again? Well, it's your Groundhog's Day, and you have to learn to do something different. You have to learn to not react to the things the way you would that make yourself the center of the universe. That's how this man lived at the start of Groundhog's Day. He was the center of the universe. And at the end of the time period, he begins to recognize he's not the center of the universe. Doing good and doing kindness. But see, that's just a worldly movie, and it's not quite sufficient. Because the point of the movie is there's goodness out there and we need to find goodness. So there's this plan, this purpose, these laws, these principles, and if we only find them, that's the key to life. But that's not the biblical understanding of why we go over the same things over and over and over. Yes, it's so that we learn to do good, but the difference in the biblical story is I am the door, Jesus said. The point of the biblical story is that we find Jesus. It's not that we don't find principles of living. We find a person. We find that the universe is not these impersonal principles, but it's a very personal universe. It's God. It's Jesus. And that entering into the door, entering the door of life, it's through Jesus. And the whole universe becomes personalized. And quite frankly, to understand goodness and faithfulness and purpose, that's the old covenant. It's good. It's good, but it's not the complete issue. It's not the ultimate issue. The ultimate issue is our universe was created by a person, a personal God who desires a relationship with us, who desires intimacy with us, who desires to connect with us on a personal, relational level. And there's a big difference between those two versions of life. Why, Lord, do we go through the same things over and over and over and over again? And many of you could ask that question. Of course, there's areas in your life you pray and you get the victory, but there are other areas it seems like you keep living through Groundhog's Day. It's the same things over and over and over again. Well, the Lord doesn't want you to find a purpose or a principle or a law. He wants you to find Jesus. Yes. He wants you to find himself. That's the entry into the life of God. Yes. We look at our lives. We can come to church. We can worship. We can have a ministry. We can have an anointing. But our life is devoid of personal relationships. We can have the powerful move of God. But what's your relationship like with your wife? We can have a powerful move of God, but what's your relationship like with your children? We can have a powerful move of God, but what's your relationship like with your brothers and sisters? See, we are still under the old covenant. when we're looking for purpose and principles and things to take place in our lives. We enter into the new covenant when we recognize the key to existence is relationships with God. It all starts with God. We have been reconciled to him, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, and he says, and now we can be reconciled with each other. See, that's the real issue in life. When you look at the problems in the world right now, the problems in the world aren't necessarily that people don't want good things to happen. But here's the problems with the world. We start with something good, and then we want to shove it down people's throats. We want to force people to do that. See, that's utopianism. That's a world absent from God. Oh, this one sees this aspect of justice, and this one sees that aspect of justice. And if you put me in power, I'll make sure my aspect of judgment is forced on the world. Mm-mm. That is not the Lord. What the Lord wanted, we saw in the beginning, the essence of the covenant was the man and the woman walked and talked with God. They were in a relationship with him. And his desire was to take that relationship and for them to be fruitful and multiply and to bring all those that came forth from them into that same relationship with God. So how was the covenant violated? When man decided that he would be God and he would determine what was good and evil and he would determine what he wanted everybody else to come into relationship with. What I see is right, you'll come into relationship with that and I'll force it on you. And all those that don't agree with my view of life, off with their heads. See, we have missed the real point of the new covenant. We have missed the real point of the new covenant. Now, the new covenant is manifested in faith, hope, and love. Let me just show you a couple verses here. Let's do a faith verse first. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is about pleasing God. No faith, as Pastor Bird and others have shared today. No faith, God is not pleased. Faith is about pleasing God. Let's look at a simple verse about love. And these are verses we all know, but I want to point these out. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now faith, hope, and love abide. In other words, faith, hope, and love. When we talk about entering into the life of God, when we talk about entering into a relationship with God, we are always going to experience faith, hope, and love in his presence. Now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So apart from faith, you can't please God. The greatest is love. And then a hope verse. Again, these are verses I always quote. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 says, verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. So love is the greatest. Apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. But Paul says here, you got no love and you got no faith without hope. Hope is the source. See, we don't start with faith, we start with hope. And hope has to do with the fact that we know who God is. We have a relationship with God, and he is a God of promise. And because we know him, We have hope. We expect that he is a promise-fulfilling God. That's where it all starts. And that hope then will lead us into the faith that by which we can please God, and will lead us into the love of God, the experience of the love of God, which is the greatest of the three. Now, Paul likes to put all three together in his writings constantly. If he writes about one, he writes about the other. And I'll finish with two verses here. Galatians 5. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." We await for the hope of righteousness. Faith is what causes us to turn to the Lord, and then that faith works through love. We have faith, hope, and love, but the key is in the middle of it, for in Christ Jesus, faith works through love. We have hope for righteousness. It's about a person. The person is the doorway. The person is the one who causes us to enter into faith, hope, and love. The person is the one who causes us to experience the life of God. The person is the one we're looking for when we go through our Groundhog Day over and over and over again. We're looking for solutions, and we pray for solutions. We're not saying we don't pray for solutions. We're not saying we don't pray for healing. We don't pray for God to break through. We don't pray for deliverance. We don't pray for help. We do all those things. But what we're really looking for is not for God to do something for us. We're looking for God himself, and it is that connection with Jesus that releases the hope, that releases the faith, that causes us to experience the love of God. And so you have two kinds of Christianities. You have a Christianity that's no different from, you know, finding a store you like, or a car you like, or some clothing you like. It's no different from that. It's a consumer-oriented Christianity. What are you going to do for me, God? False Christianity, and yet it's prevalent. That Christianity is everywhere. And the true Christianity is, I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for him. I'm looking to get back to the garden and have this relationship with God. This is what I'm looking for. And then finally, Romans chapter 5. We'll close with that. Romans 5, verse 1. We're going to see faith, hope, and love in here, but we're going to see Jesus here as well. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, there's faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The focus of faith is a relationship with God through Jesus. It's a relationship, and it gives us peace. It creates peace. After, I got to think of the order these events happen in. It happened before 9/11. My famous story, I'm flying back from Russia, and I fly into Switzerland, and I get on a Swiss Air flight, and that was the flight from hell. Flying from Switzerland to Chicago and back to Detroit to get home from a time of ministry in Russia. And the plane got bounced out of the sky three times. As we took off from Bern, Switzerland, and it was really bad turbulence. We got bounced once, things went flying, people went flying. I remember looking out the window right before they happened. It looked like the wings of the plane were going like this. It was scary. And then we were okay, And then we're flying a little further, and boom, we get bounced again. And a third time, boom, we get bounced again. And it was a horrible flight. And then for the remainder of the flight, it was just shaking. I've never had a flight where, you know, 5, 6, 7 hour flight of turbulence straight. It was scary. It was so scary. And I always bring books with me. I bring books everywhere, and I couldn't read. I mean, it was nerve wracking because, you know, you look at the. I always watch the flight attendants. I watch their faces. Then I know what's really going on in the situation. And they were scared, and I knew that. And it was bad. And that was where I learned the value of praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues for 5 hours. Because the Holy Spirit said to me, the Lord said to me, it was this, after being bounced 3 times, that was one of those famous, this plane will land, the Lord said to me. But the Lord said, son, you pray this plane into landing. And all across the Atlantic, turbulence. Getting into Chicago was the worst. Trying to fly, it was, they tried to come down and they had to go up again. And they tried to land and they had to go up again. It was just freaking believable. And then that was the prelude to 9/11. And then, you know, 9/11 happened, and there was just so much stuff going on. And I mean, for a while, I was flying a lot at that time. And I was struggling to fly. So my wife and I, then we're flying. I think it was when we were flying to the East Coast for I had to do a wedding on the East Coast, and we flew Detroit to Chicago, then Chicago to the East Coast. And I mean, I'm nerved up when I'm flying. I mean, I'm having a hard time because of the trauma that I'd gone through. And my wife was sitting next to me. This is powerful stuff, brother. God does little things. And I just said, I was freaking out. I couldn't get right. And I just said, hold my hand. And my wife would hold my hand, and everything was gone. And then I'd forget and take my hand away from her, and then I'd be freaking out. And I said, Jan, just hold my hand. And she'd hold my hand. And that's the power of relationships. See, that's what we're really doing with the Lord Jesus. Jesus, I'm shaking. I don't know if this flight is going to land. Hold my hand, Jesus. And Jesus holds our hand, and we're all right. See, that's what following the Lord is all about. That's what being a Christian is all about. And you see, when Jesus transforms our relationship with him, he begins to transform our relationship with everybody else. The only reason I'm right in any relationship I have is because I'm right with Jesus. And when my relationships with anyone else are wrong in my life, I'm wrong with Jesus. And you can go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and not be right with Jesus. Relationship is the source. That's faith, hope, and love. That's the portal that God gives us. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when my wife would just hold my hand, I mean, literally, my being would be flooded with supernatural peace. And when I take my hand away, I was a wreck. And so I just would say to her, but the problem with my wife is she likes to sleep on flights, and I can't sleep on flights because I'm too busy watching everything that's going on. But that's powerful. So if we're justified, made righteous by faith, and that's what Bert is saying, we got to have faith. When you have faith, you are justified. And when you're walking in unbelief, you're walking in condemnation. See, people make this thing about justification by faith. Oh, I'm always in possession of my justification, and I'm always right with the Lord. And the answer to that is yes and no. Of course, you always have the justification from Jesus Christ. It doesn't go away. But if you're not walking in faith, that you have that justification. If you're not connected relationally with the Lord, you're going to be a basket case. It's more like we live in these two worlds simultaneously. And faith keeps us anchored in the right world. Hope keeps us anchored in the right world. Don't ever give up on hope. I'll add to Bird's exhortation of faith, don't ever give up on hope. What does it mean I never give up on hope? No matter how I'm feeling, no matter what's going on, no matter how bad things are going, I serve a God of promise and He is faithful. See, that's what hope is. Faith is I'm walking in the faith of the Lord. Hope is I'm walking in His faithfulness. We need them both. And that's what creates peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Through Him, verse 2 says, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, hope leads us into faith. Faith leads us into more hope, which leads us into more faith and more love. Love is what we ultimately want to experience. That's that. It's the bliss, the ecstasy, the intimacy with the Lord that releases in us this transformation. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. See, faith and hope gives us a whole different perspective on life. Not I am doing everything in my power to get out of my sufferings, but I rejoice in my sufferings. Do you understand? Those are two different perspectives on suffering. Rejoicing in suffering doesn't mean we're masochists or sadists. Rejoicing in suffering doesn't mean we want to end that suffering. But rejoicing in suffering is this: Lord, this plane's going to fall out of the sky. Hold my hand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, that's rejoicing in sufferings. We rejoice in sufferings because He is with us, not because we get out of the suffering. See, a lot of us live this, as soon as I get out of the suffering, then I'll rejoice. Well, I'm going to rejoice when I get out of the suffering, but I want to rejoice before I get out of the suffering. And I rejoice before because You are with me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice, not I can run through the valley of the shadow of death, which is the normal human instinct, but I walk very calm, very cool, very content, full of peace, because You are with me. That's rejoicing in sufferings. He's with me, and He's going to lead me out of the suffering. That's hope. But when I'm in the suffering, hold my hand, Jesus, and I can get through this. Hold my hand. Holy Spirit, pray through me in tongues so I can get through this. It was so funny because I was sitting, you know, this plane too that got knocked out of the sky. That was one of those big 747s. It was a huge, you know, three aisles across. This was no small plane that was getting knocked around. So you know what kind of turbulence that was. And this young fellow was sitting a couple seats down from me. There was nobody between us. We didn't say a word to each other the entire flight. When we're touching down in Chicago, he goes, "This is my first overseas flight." He goes, "Are they always like this?" And I looked at him and said, "Oh no, oh no, they're not always." What a flight to begin your overseas flying with. That kid might never want to have flied anywhere after that. But not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Yes. What a man's gift builds up, his character tears down. That was Papa Pete Beck, 101. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. See, hope is the portal. It's the doorway in. It's what we experience when we're in that relationship with Jesus. And hope teaches us this suffering, this endurance. It teaches us there's nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing. That's what we need to learn. And that's why sometimes Groundhog Day, we go over and over and over the same thing, because the Lord says, "You still haven't found me in this, and I want you to find me I want you to find me, because this is how you enter into the life of God. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope will never put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. And so you see in this short passage, faith, hope, and love, and you see Father, Son, and Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's all bound together. Do we understand that this is why we partake of the Lord's Supper every week? Because he is here. He is with us. This reminds us. This reminds us of our constant relationship with Jesus. He laid down his life for us. He allowed his body to be broken for us. He allowed his blood to be spilled for us, that we could be in relationship with him. So, Lord, as we partake of your body and blood today, Lord, thank you for your relationship with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the basis of your relationship that was self-sacrificial, Lord. You demonstrated your love to us, Lord, your self-sacrificial love. And the transformation that you want in us is that we begin to love you and love each other, Lord, even loving our enemies, Lord God, by demonstrating that same self-sacrificial love, Lord. I know there's an element to the Lord's Supper where we confess our sins. I confess my sin. I still don't lay, after 50 years of marriage, I still don't lay my life down for my wife the way I need to. And Lord, when we come into conflicts, I'm always putting myself and my own desires first. Forgive me, Lord, for not demonstrating your love. That'll be my sin that I confess today, Lord God. Thank you for your body, Lord. Thank you for your blood. You transform us that we might become like you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Now, I don't know if I got good advice or not, but they said, you know, go a little longer with the communion message just in case we don't have that many women to share. Well, you know, hopefully we're proven wrong. We're going to open it up. We had the women's meeting last Saturday. It was a week ago Saturday, and the women got together, and I think it was the fourth time. And every time the women get together, as I always say, the Spirit gets poured out and the water level in the church goes up a little higher. We're believing the same thing for the men's meeting, and that's why we're going to have our second men's meeting this Saturday here at 10 o'clock. So who wants to open for the women? Pastor Jan, come on up.
Okay, I just want to say a little prayer and then I'll do my spiel. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to pour out what you poured into us on this Saturday we all gathered together. So, Lord, be with us again. Let the people that weren't able to attend get a glimpse of what went on. In Jesus' name, amen. So our theme for the year is the Tree of Life, and that's why there's a painting here done by Pastor Cindy. And what I really love about the painting is that how she sees things in Technicolor. And we don't really know what paradise looked like, but we can believe and guess it was very colorful, and that it's not like how we would picture it, but it was amazing. So we started in Genesis in the beginning, and that's really where it all started for us, in the beginning. And we learned that God planted the tree of life right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which seemed very strange, because if you didn't want your child to eat the candy, you wouldn't put it next to the vegetables, would you? So, you know, so we really checked that out. Why did God do that? And it was really good. We discovered that we are both good and evil. We have the capacity to be heavenly, but we also have that capacity to be earthly. And we were made out of dust, and that's why we sometimes are gravitating to the things of the world rather than the things of heaven. But a couple things that really stood out to me that day, and they're not here, so I wasn't going to share because I thought they maybe would come, but one was when Amber Randall gave the communion prayer, and she's never come up here before. It's her first time, and she was very nervous. But it was really emotional because she said her husband and her worked on it together. And that really did something to me. And she shared one scripture, and she shared the scripture he found. It was so amazing to see how God was working, just bringing them together over a communion word. And the other thing I wanted to share that I thought was so tremendous, we had a time of sharing. Women could share what they felt, they learned. And Darlene, who is not here, was the last one to share. And she said, "When I look out into all the women here, I see the tree of life." And that just got to me. We are the tree of life. When we're together, and we're singing his praises, and we're worshiping him, and he's our center, we are that tree of life. That's what he wanted. That's what Pastor was talking about today. And when we brought it up to her on Wednesday at the Why Jesus class, she said, "When I looked out, I just saw lights. I just saw all the women as lights." And that just, I thought, was so awesome. So I can honestly say this was our fourth time doing this. We already have planned our calendar. It's every 3 months throughout the year. And it just keeps getting better. The Spirit just keeps coming in bigger and better and moves in a way you can't predict how the day is going to go. And you can't, it's hard to even explain how it worked out, but each time it's been a little better than the last time, and each time it's been different. Yeah. And I know Janine said, you know, it was different this time. And I thought, yeah, I can't even explain how it was different, but it was sweet and awesome. And so, you know, if you weren't able to make it, it looks like all the women in here made it. Set that date. It's in the bulletin for next time. And Patty in the back, she was here. And just there's a lot of women that aren't here today. I don't know if they got scared because they thought they'd have to share, but they didn't show up today, those stinkers. But, you know, we are just getting really closer and closer and closer with each meeting. And we're understanding each other a little better and loving each other more. So that's all I think I have to share, but I hope the rest of you feel free to come up. It's just a small group. Don't be nervous and just express what God did, and hopefully it'll get the men jealous, so they'll want to come to their meeting. So, amen.
So I was looking around for somebody to come up before me, and there was no one. But I want to share how, as we came together as women, and it was very informative to learn about the Tree of Life, not only to learn, to be a part of it, because as we began to share, Pastor Andrea, Mom Suzette was here, and I cry occasionally, whatever, but she got up and she shared some things that I have a tendency of pushing down. And when she shared, it was like the tears, not only the tears, I cried out loud, and I never do that, never, ever, ever. And I looked at her, and when we were done, I told her I ain't like her. And I said, "I don't like you no more. I'm done with you." But she knew I was playing, and so, because I play all the time. But anyway, the way we came together as women, and the way God touched us all in a different way, it was just beautiful. It was, and Darlene alluded to the fact that she said, all of y'all all good, and y'all just touch me in different ways, and I like that. I really like that. But on my way, praying for us coming together, I heard the Lord say, rain. So it was like a spiritual rain, and then Pastor Janine alluded to the fact of rain, and I was like, this is good. So I like when God does little things like that. They become powerful to me because it makes me a part. You know, I am a part. And so I have a position. It may not be your position. It may not be yours. But I have a place. And I don't need your place. I just need to have my own. But somebody need to get themselves up here because I'm done.
Pastor Jan, you kind of relax. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Pastor Jan, you kind of calm me down because I've been full of anxiety all weekend and dealing with, you know, battling with my mind. You know, the enemy put all these excuses in your mind for you not to show up, but I pressed my way anyway. So, amen. I'm grateful for a women's retreat that convened a week ago. It's always a blessing to be among the women at Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. They are a woman of love and compassion. And so it's just a blessing to be among the women here. Now, before I get into what I have to say, we were given a lot of handouts. We were given a handout by Pastor Jan gave us a handout, slew of scriptures. She gave us, was it you the one with the tree? You gave me the picture with the tree? You gave me, okay. So we had a handout with scriptures from Pastor Jan and Elder Teresa. She gave us handouts about a seed, how it develops, you know, in the grounds. It's like a baby. And she also gave us a tree that we're talking about. So our retreat began with God meeting us through worship with our minister of music, Sister Elliot. It was a day of fellowship, prayer, sharing, and breaking of bread. Our poet of the house, Minister Sharon King, wrote a poem entitled Hush, which was felt by many. Pastor Janine beautifully decorated the dining area that would leave you saying, we had assorted homemade soup made by fabulous chefs with bread and butter. And Pastor Phil, our famous baker, filled our palate with his delectable treats. Finally, the ladies were blessed with mugs, socks, and bag of chocolate candy. That's the prelude. The best part was our theme, the Tree of Life. Our art teacher, Pastor Cindy, as you can see, graced us with a painting and a bookmarker of the Tree of Life. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's from the NIV. And we received a relevant word from two of God's most powerful women, amen. Pastor Jan and Elder Teresa. Pastor Jan shared with us that the Tree of Life started in the garden, Genesis 2 and 9, with God, and it extended to Revelation 2 and 7, also with God. And it signifies eternal life. Whatever God starts, he would get the results that he intended to get from the beginning. She also said the Tree of Life is the sustainer of life because this tree represents God the Father, Yahweh. Before God made man, he put everything in place. Why? Because he is the God of order, provision, and productivity. When everything was set by God's design, he brought forth Adam and gave him an assignment. And we all have assignments. He gave him a job. And we all have jobs in the kingdom. And he gave him responsibilities. And every one of us got responsibility in the kingdom of God. Nobody should be sitting on the seat because we all got responsibilities. Now, this is what God told Adam. Now, name all the animals, cultivate the land, and take dominion over what I've given you. So God has given us gifts and talents, and we must take dominion over everything God has given us and share it. For God said, for I am preparing you for what's about to take place. In this prepared garden are many fruit trees to eat from. But I've given you a free choice in this garden. It's also the tree of life. Choose that tree and live forever, or choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there would be serious consequences. Adam and Eve had a choice, and so do we. So choose you today. What tree you're going to eat from? What tree is going to call the shots? Amen. Amen. We all have a choice to make. Elder Teresa, she taught us about the importance of seed from Genesis 9, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And she said the seed in the garden is a sustainable promise. The purpose of the fruit was to grow and bear fruit. And that's our purpose. We got to grow, bear fruit, mature, flourish for the kingdom of God. The purpose of the fruit was to grow and bear fruit, and God values the process. Seed is an image of prosperity, a potential for life and regrowth. She said, seed in the Old Testament was of great value. It was used to barter. So if we didn't have money, we barter seed, because that's how important a seed is. You plant a seed, and I'm telling you, let me keep going because I'm getting ahead of myself. Seed must take root before it can begin to spread. It is small but mighty. Don't underestimate small beginnings. A seed is a product and a producer. We are a seed and we produce. But what kind of seed are you planting and what are you producing? Amen. That makes a big, big difference. A seed is a product and a producer. It's a living, productive body, like an embryo in a mother's womb. Value the seed that God has given. It is a treasure. The word is the seed. God's word is the seed. His word is our seed. So we have to put the word in us, digest it so that we can give it back out. James 1, 22 and 25 says, be a doer and not a hearer only. Mark 4, God sows seeds generously in our lives. Let the word sink in and respond. Fruit trees were of great value in Deuteronomy 20, 19 through 20, to the point that they could not be cut down. God would not let them cut down a fruit tree. I got a fruit tree in my backyard. It is a nerve-wracking, and I really want to cut it down. We too are fruit trees, and the Bible said a tree is known by the fruit it bears. What kind of fruit are we producing? God bless you all.
Well, I really have to just kind of repeat what everybody's already said. It does get better each time. It honestly does. And it's different each time. It's better but different. And isn't that just like the Lord?
Yes.
He always gets better and better, but it's never the same thing over and over. And, you know, I was praying yesterday. I'm like, Lord, I have no idea what you want me to share. And the Lord And I just asked him, I'm like, you know what? We're always crying out that you would just show up, but you always, always do. And I'm like, why is that, Lord? Why? I like to ask the Lord why sometimes. I want a specific. And he reminded me of a scripture in Song of Solomon. I think it's in 4. It says, you have ravaged my heart with one glance, of our eyes. Isn't that amazing that we can do that to the Lord of the universe? So I looked up what ravish means. To fill someone with intense delight. One glance in his direction, and it fills him with intense delight. Powerful. No wonder he shows up so mightily. When his beautiful women come together and just take a glance in his direction, just a glance. What little effort on our part, and what great reward we get for that little effort. And you know, it's not just us. I mean, he does it with the men. He does it when we're here. And then I had to repent, because I'm like, Lord, do I put that same expectation and that same glance when I'm rushing to get out the door on Sunday morning to come here? So I just want to encourage everybody. He loves us so much. Glance in his direction, and he'll show up in a mighty way.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So Joyce made me come up here. I wasn't quite ready yet. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. And this is Paul speaking. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The women's retreat was really good. And it is always something different, new expectations every time. Everything was lovely. The decorations, the food was great. The word. And Pastor, I believe it was Pastor Jan or Pastor Jenny, wanted to know, what did we get? And I said that for me that day, I received hope. I received hope. And then, again for me, was when Pastor Cindy got up and she shared. And I've been knowing Pastor Cindy for quite a while. And what touched me was when she was sharing and I saw the tears begin to flow. And knowing what she's experiencing, what she's going through, I just felt her heart. And that really moved me a lot. And I just want everybody to know that I love the women of this church, and I love it that we come together as one, because we need to come together as women to encourage each other and to show how much we love each other. Everybody in here is going through something major in their lives. But God is able. No matter what we're going through, God is still able. No matter what we're going through, God still loves us. No matter what we're going through, God knows all about it. And for me that day, a seed was planted, not just of hope, but of love. And I believe that God is doing something so great and so new and he's starting to plant different seeds in our midst, seeds that we can see, some that we can't see yet. And so I just thank God for being a part of the body, of this church. I thank him for that.
Good morning. I always feel like the Lord gives me a word that's opposite, but when Pastor Bird and Pastor Mike spoke today, it made sense to what the Lord had put on my heart in regards to the retreat. He put John 20 in this song. Some of you may know it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I have faith and hope in the writing this, but what's the roses have to do with the trees? And so, it's like, speak the word. In a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks to us. I really heard the Lord's voice through this retreat. And he walks with me and he tells me I am his own. That's where the faith and hope really, I really felt a surge of it that day. And he has so much love. And he's speaking to me, and I believe this word is for everybody. He has so much love to go around, we become all his favorite. We don't need our emotions to lead us to being offended, hurt, because what it does is it steals our joy of how he thinks of us. Jesus Christ, we got to get to know how much he really loves us. And I think coming together and you see the needs of each one of us. I mean, I actually broke down and cried when Pastor Cindy was receiving prayer. And but that just shows love when we come together and pray for one another. And he is the truth. And that's our unity. Our unity is when we come together and we set everything else aside. We can't feel threatened or jealous. He is the real God, not the God of our thoughts, what we're drumming up and saving. He blows his breath on us. And the way he can make things still, he can make us still, like the bird, stop singing and listen to his voice. This was a lot of stuff for me here. He also put on my heart, are you remaining a fugitive in your own head? A fault finding keeps coming up. Your opinions. And you tell Jesus how things need to be, otherwise you're not happy. And you're rewriting the Bible, the book of, put your name in it, the book of hurts, the book of wounds, storing ways to hurt somebody in your head. Even I love that person, but I don't like that person. That person really hurt me. You're withholding his love when you hang on to stuff like that. It's like you're not giving yourself a chance to allow him to rest in you, to nest in you. And he tells me, he tells us, he's his creation of love and unity. He is unity. You keep asking for unity. Well, use the love he's created us, and in his words. I hope this makes sense. I want to be a part of his plan, not a part of it, APART, but a part of his plan. You have a bad day, and everybody does, but we don't realize we store stuff up here, and we start to take it out on somebody else. I had a bad day, you don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You got to learn to just be quiet sometimes, keep your mouth shut, and just be at peace in that. And in John 20, 22, we need to keep in withholding. We retain stuff in our head. And when I looked it up, it said we withhold, hold back. And in our minds, we hold back unity and love that the Lord had created us. And we have to learn to forgive and let go and remit. I looked up the word remit. It means denial. We deny we're having a bad day. We deny I'm aching. We deny you believe those stories in your head, the lies in your head, and it becomes like in Proverbs 19:16, it's a short-term think. And there's a long-term thinking in Proverbs 21:5 and in 2 Corinthians 10:5 and Romans 12:2. We got to be transformed. We've got to have a new mind. If we don't, the stuff keeps coming up in here. I'm not saying it's not valid, but then you start getting your anxieties and sleepless nights because you're holding on everything by choice because you stay up to do God's work, and you're not God. And so the Lord put a lot of this on my heart, that we got to grow up and mature and stop letting it take so long. And sometimes when we say things that offend people, well, we got to do like Jesus, turn our head and let it go. Because, you know, you could read the Bible every day, but still truly be ignorant of what it really says. Amen.
I have such a conglomeration of so many things that have been going through my mind, my spirit, my heart, my circumstances, and just so many things. So, Lord, help me to articulate and try to. One of the things about me is when we do the Women's Day, when we have Sunday service, and, you know, we have meetings during the week, and, you know, just life in between and family and all that, that God is always speaking through every single thing. And that it's not just, you know, God moved at a Women's Day and it's over. No, that we have a momentum going for all of us, not just the ladies, although it has been awesome and women are great. But there are so many other things that come into play with how God is speaking to us, whether it's a conversation, you know, with someone and something else is developed with what God is speaking. It's kind of like this beautiful tree in front of us. There's a myriad of wonderful and beautiful things that God is doing all at the same time, right? And it's one thing is built on another. It's, you know, when I come on Sunday service, I'm excited because there are some things that are spoken and shared that God has already given me privy to. And it makes me excited that, wow, I am hearing from you, Lord, right? But if we look at everything as a continuum with what God is doing in the Spirit from our daily lives, I mean, God can speak to you while you're fixing your car, you know? You need gas in your car, you need oil in your car, you need things to keep running this engine, so on, and that's your life. You need the oil of the Spirit. You need gas in your car to get moving. And you see what I mean? God knows that we all learn differently, and he speaks to us in a language that we understand. And so, because of my upbringing, I did not have a lot of parental guidance, shall we say. And because of that, early on, when I became a Christian at 16, God started to parent me. And I started to hear his voice as a father over and over again in every situation, you know. I mean, it's been a long time, but I can say that regardless, he's still my parent. And I'm still his child. Even though I myself am a parent, I have him always to run things, you know, run things about, you know, what about this and what about that. And you know what? God is really faithful to guide us and show us, right? And he'll speak through the word, which is primarily the way that he speaks. But he speaks in the spirit as well. And when he speaks in the spirit, you better bet that it aligns with the word of God, or it's not God, right? Well, that's our you know, our marker there, that, you know, when God says, you know, to do something and it lines up with his word, acts of kindness, whatever it may be, he backs it up in the word. And, you know, there are so many things that have transpired. I just can't even believe it. I mean, when you hear a message, it keeps giving, right? It has a life, because when pastors up here, or, you know, somebody's ministering, you know, the word of God in a Bible study, that word is a word from the throne of God. It has some humanity mixed in with it, but it is a word from God. And we are to be careful how we hear. Like it was said earlier, we are to act on what we hear, not just be hearers only, but we have to do it. When we have our Bible study on Wednesdays, we often confess and repent after the word and say, well, I'm talking about forgiveness. However, I am really struggling with this situation. And it's legit. It's valid. It's beyond human, you know, taking care of it. I need Jesus. I need help in those situations. So we talked, going back to the women's day, we talked about the garden of the Lord in how the Garden of Eden was paradise. It is what I envision and see in the book of Revelation, and as we worship as a church, I go to this realm of beauty. And that is a really driving force in my spirit. I love beauty. I love that picture. I love art. I love nature. I love people. You know, I love a good meal. I love beautiful things, not in a covetous way, but in appreciation of all that God has made and all that he gives us through other people. That, you know, people are amazing in what they can do. So much talent, so much achievement. And so I have that appreciation of that. So when the word of God comes, and Pastor Jan talked about the garden of the Lord, she took us into some different navigation in Genesis, you know? And she talked about it in a way that made you think beyond the simple Sunday school story of Adam and Eve. You know what I'm saying? And it was so wonderful. And she weaved in a lot of the things that she had previously shared in the retreat beforehand. And that's what I'm talking about when we are building something. There's always this momentum of the Spirit where God is taking this from this and this from that. And then, you know, Teresa talked about being good seed, you know, and having seed, and how everything within you, within us, everything we need is in that seed. It is in Christ Jesus, right? And it takes a certain kind of environment for those things to grow. We need the Word of God. We need accountability. We need fellowship. We need communion. We need worship. We need intercession. There are so many things going on all the time that you can plug into. You don't have to have a life commitment to coming to a meeting or going to the prayer meeting on Thursday night or whatever it may be, or John's Bible study or whatever. But so Teresa shared about that, and she also shared about, and I don't remember the name of it, this one seed that produces a tree after 40 years. And she was talking about how some things take a lot of time. Some things. And we all have promises. God is going to do it. He said he's going to do it. We believe it, right? But there are some things that take a long time. And can I say that because of the time that it takes, that it increases in its uniqueness and in its value? When your children come to Christ in their 40s, it's valuable. And they are called to a unique walk with the Lord, something different than what we ourselves had, right? There are some things that take time. I mean, as a church here, we have prayed for a lot of different things. And there are some things that happen, right? Instantly, people get healed. We've seen miracles. We've seen all manner of things, God moving. But there are some things that we're still waiting on. And I'm telling you, God is still in it. He is still for us, and it's going to happen. It may have taken us, well, we're here 26 years. Maybe it'll take us a while. But it's going to happen. And when it does, it will be valuable, and it will be unique to what he has called us to be as a church. Okay. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Sorry for taking up so much time, but I have so much to say most of the time, right, Oz? Right, Jan? So I want to connect this with a little bit of what transpired today in worship. For those of you that don't know, when trials and tribulations come, they come first to the leaders of the house. And there are things that have happened in the lives that we as leaders are privy to, and not all of you are, and I'm not going to explain it, but our pastor and his wife have been through it. And they have continued to model to those of us under him, under her, to persevere, to have hope, and to hang in there. And Philip and I, as associate pastors, have been in incredible, enormous, overwhelming circumstances, illness, not just personally, but in our family. For those of you that have been with us for a while, you kind of know, but right now, God is moving in my family. And there's a lot of things I'm really waiting for, and it's taken a long time, you know. But I know he's faithful. And right now, my husband, a couple months ago, just found out he had torn rotator cuff, okay? Next, he has this esophageal twist in his throat where there are times he can't eat and he just throws up. He can't take food down. Now he has blood clots in his leg, and he's home. And hi, honey. And he's laid out. He can't stand because of the pain. It's so excruciating. But during the week when I was talking to Pastor Oz, he just really reminded me how God provides. See, my husband is a guy that's driven by work. This is very unusual for him to be laid out. And this is an opportunity in the midst of all that's going on for him. This is an opportunity for him to really know, one, that God provides, and two, that there is a rest that comes from God. We have seen miracles in Emmy's life. You guys heard about the testimony, how, you know, they got in an accident and their handicapped van was totaled, and how a used van was $60,000, a brand new one was $130,000. Well, we didn't have that kind of money, and the insurance was really being buggers about it. So anyways, through all of God's orchestration, we came up with over $40,000 from all kinds of places, businesses, faith works, 100 friends, I mean, all kind of ministries. I have never in my life experienced the faith building as I saw it happen with her. Because how many of you know that you can believe it for somebody else, but it's hard to believe it for your own life, right? A lot of times we struggle with that. Like, I don't know if it's you know, you care about all that other stuff, but when it comes to me, I always feel like it's not going to happen. Unbelief, which was spoken about today and which, you know, I talked to Pastor Bert about. Anyways, so that's one thing. That's one circumstance. I also have a mentally ill grandson. You know, I have a granddaughter that was diagnosed with the same fatal disease as my grandson. But I'm believing it's not fatal. I'm believing that God is going to heal them. And he's using our church to do that. And so I appreciate your prayers. Okay. So then Pastor Bird was up here this morning, and what he read in Daniel was me. I felt like I am in this stinking fire. I really am. My life, my circumstance, my family, our health, our mental well-being, all that. And you know what is the most ironic thing is that I have so inside of me a defiance of being burned in that fire. I am not going there. I am not going there. We are not going there. I am not going to let, regardless of the outcome, whether God saves like he can or whether he doesn't, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They're in the fire. They're unwilling. I am unwilling to bow down to every kind of oppressor that comes my way. I don't care if it's medicine. I don't care if it's science. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care what it is. I am not bowing down. And I'm not doing that in my own strength. That's the key. God's grace is so powerful and so keeping in the midst of the fire. And you know what? I know and I am convinced that the fourth man walking in that fire, Jesus, is with me in all of this. And I know that we live for a different citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We can live in this world, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like that world. And you know what? Here's the thing. You have access to that realm anytime that you call out to God. Anytime. Teresa said it this morning. With one glance, that's, you know what a glance is? That's it. One glance, and you make God's heart palpitate, excited, motivated. That's incredible, guys. What happens when we are in a service and we are worshiping God all together and we are focused with all our attention upon God Almighty? His heart is excited. He rejoices over us with singing. He is thrilled. He is excited. He's like, that's my kids. Those are my people. If we understood how much that pleases God, believe me, we would not want to leave this place. Because we receive from one another resource and supply when we go through. Not only do we get it from the fourth man walking, but we get it from one another. We get it from one another. And you know what? I just think that this place is like a treasure that is hidden. And when a treasure is hidden, just like we talked about people earlier, when a treasure is hidden, it increases in value. And when the Lord God Almighty decides to take one string of pearls out here, bdellium, Jan, whatever he decides to do, we are going to see an expansion of the very riches of Christ in our midst that will be manifest in a way that impacts what we are being prepared for right now. Thank you, guys.
Well, you know, we all get something different. And I don't even know where to start because, like you say, there's just so many things going around in my head. But I'm just going to share what happened with me on that day. Pastor Jan shared a word, and one of the, you know, and this is, I think visually, so sometimes people are talking and I'm seeing what's going on, you know, I'm watching it. And she had a comment about, you know, well, kind of like, what would you do if Jesus was in the room with you? And all of a sudden, whatever she was saying, you know, the context of it was gone, and it was just, it was John and myself sitting in our messy family room. That was the image, with everything falling apart around us, our things in our lives, I mean, literal mess, just, you know, chaos, whatever. And Jesus was sitting in the room. And, you know, it just blew me away. It was just like, you know, talking about, somebody said about, pastor said about being a believer for 50-some years, and Janine said, I don't, you said since you were 16, and I thought about that. So it's over 40 years for me, you know, and things change throughout your walk with Christ, and, you know, this is like, I guess, I don't know if I have always looked at it this way. I mean, I see Jesus in things, in situations and stuff, but just that very personal image of him being in the room with us. And the fact that because he's there, it's good. It's not bad, it's good. Because he's there. And I really lost it, you know, and I mean, we're going through a lot, and, you know, not everybody knows everything, and we're not going to tell everybody everything because it's just, and, you know, I just felt the love of God when everybody prayed for me. He is in the room, and it's okay, and women were crying with me, and women were praying with me, and they were hugging me and loving me. And it was Jesus doing that because he's in the room. And, you know, over the years, you become intimate with people that you pray with and you spend time with and you learn with. But also, I don't know, things change. It's It's not even the same as being with your family, you know, like your extended family or anything. It's just, it's on a different level. It is the supernatural. And basically that's what happened with me. And I'm just so thankful. I'm very thankful. And it took me to a new level, kind of a more tangible one, that Jesus is in the room all the time. And I'm so thankful for that, you know. Praise God. And it doesn't matter about how I perform. That's the other thing. We were in the midst of chaos, mess, whatever. Doesn't matter. He's in the room.
The thing that really impressed me, I don't know, really stuck with me, is when Pastor Jan taught about the garden. She talked about the four rivers coming out of the Garden of Eden. And, you know, I thought about it, and I looked up some more things about it. And, well, first of all, when you think about how God formed from waters, okay, so how much we need water to live, and then he made the land. And the idea is, you know, they're not sure exactly. I mean, they say where they think the Garden of Eden was, but from the Garden of Eden came these four rivers. And when she gave the names of the rivers, you know, she said what they did. So the first one was the Pishon, I think it's, and I think you said dispersive. Well, you know, I looked it up also. Other, you think about it, it's a great outpouring, fully diffused, perfect sustainability. So the main river, you know, sustains us. It allows us to pour. It pours into us. Okay. The second river is the. And it says it goes, it winds through the entire land of Havilah. So when it talks about it in the Bible, it's giving geographical ideas of where these rivers go. So it may not, and what I read is might not be exactly, you know, how they said from the east to the west or whatever, but the idea that the rivers flow out of the Garden of Eden says to me, like, God knew, obviously, that man wasn't going to follow, you know, what he said about not eating the tree of life, and that they were going to have to be sustained outside of the garden. He already had that, you know. So that to me just was like, so we screw up, but he still sustains us, okay? And then the next one is the Gihon, and that's, like she said, the spurter, the outbreaker. You know, it pours out. So we receive from God, and then we pour it out. And this also talks about discipleship. This is what I was thinking. Pastor's always talking to us about discipleship. We can't just keep it in. We can't contain it. We have to pour it out. And then the third one was the Tigris. And it's rapid. It's arrow-like. And when we think of God's word and telling people about Christ, it pierces their heart, and that's where we need to be pierced. And then the last river is the Euphrates, and that means fruitful or fertility. And so our life is contained and enveloped, and everything we need to be is in Christ and in the waters that he has provided for us. And I hope that makes sense, but that was just something I really, really took from the teaching, and it was just, I don't know, it's just really blessed my heart. So I just wanted to share that. And it was wonderful being with all the women and praying for individuals and holding individuals when they are crying. And it's just beautiful. And I love being part of this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your word today, Father. We just dismiss. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the things that came forth from the women, and Lord, we talk about you move in the midst of the women, and the water level increases in the house. And then the last thing that was shared was about the rivers of life, Lord. So, Lord, just pour out your river in each of us, oh God, that we might recognize that you're there in the room. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. All right. God bless you all. Go in peace.